Hello.
Hey, Danny.
Let me start my video. Start video. We're working on here.
How you doing?
Okay, let's. I am going. We are recording now. So don't say anything you don't want to be public, including everything we're talking about before.
Well.
The internet is forever. So we're going to talk about this week's parsha. It's the mission of the spies, Shlach Lecha, right? We all know about the spies. Starts source one. Hashem tells Moshe, you should send for yourself men. Oh, hey, I rest it on my lap. He's less happy. Shlach Lecha Hashem. Be a tour to Eretz Canaan. You should explore, tour the land of Canaan. Hashem yinotein lebnei Israel that I'm giving to Bnei Israel. Ish echad l'matei avotav, one man per tribe. Tishlachu, you should send them kol nesivahem, all of them leaders, nesiim, some kind of leaders. Vayishlachot Moshe mibar Paran al pi Hashem, and Moshe sent them al pi Hashem, according to the word of God. From the wilderness of Paran, which was just south of Canaan. Kulan Manashim, all of them were real men, okay, important people. Roshei Bnei Israel Hema, and they were the heads of Bnei Israel. He's sad. The Elish Motam, and these are the names. And it says Matei Ruvain Shemu Zakor, Matei Shimon Shavap and Chori, and it goes on and on, listing the names individually. That's the Parsha. And we've talked before about the fact that the story is told very differently in Sefer Devarim. When Moshe is going through the history, he doesn't present this as Hashem commanded them, go send out these spies. He presents it as this is what the Bnei Israel demanded of him. And that's source two. Batikrubune like Kulchem, Batamru, and you all, Tilchin Bnei Israel, came to me, Batamru, and you said, let us send men before us. Biachparulana to Arts, and they will explore the land. Biashuva, Tanu Davar, they will return to us with the word at Taderach, Asher Nalaba, which way we're supposed to go, at the Rima Shemian Abo Ahelahem, and which cities we should go into first. That was the mission. And I thought that was a great idea. And I took 12 men, one per tribe. And they all went to Nachal Eshkol, and they spied it out, Meraglim. And strikingly, that term Meraglim does not appear in our parsha. They're never called spies. And Biachparu at Aretz, explore the land, never says that anywhere. We've talked about Rav Medan's way of looking at it. It was that there were two different missions here that got confused, that got mixed together, that what Hashem wanted was different from what the people wanted. Hashem said people to be representatives of the tribes, literally latur, to tour, not to spy, but to walk through the land. They were supposed to be the ones who were going to look in the land that was going to be divided up. They were going to decide where each shaman should be, where the boundaries were going to be. They were surveyors, not spies. There was no need for a spying mission. And that they're the ones who are going to divide the land up. And that's the way Rashi puts it when he's talking about when they finally actually end up going to the land, source three. Asha yinuchalu lachem. We're talking about the spies.
Yes.
These are the ones who will inherit for you, meaning Rashi says Bishvilchem for your sake. Kol nasi nevasi apotropos. Every nasi, every prince of the tribe was a we'll call it a guardian at ledlitam, a legally important guardian, legally imported, appointed. Excuse me, guardian the shivto for each shevet. U'machalek nachlat hashevet l'mishpachot. He's the one who would divide the land up. They're the ones who decided who was going to get which land. That's what this mission was supposed to be. And that's, in fact, what happens eventually when they finally get into the land. That's what Yeshua does. When they've actually made it into Eretz Canaan, they've conquered the central part of the land. They're all camped in Gilgal, and then Yeshua is saying, it's been 14 years and you still haven't done anything. There's a whole Eretz Canaan out there. Verse 4, by Yomar Yeshua ben Israel, Yeshua tells ben Israel, Ad ana atem mitrapim lavon. How long are you going to be wimps? You're going to be weak and not go? The reshet aris, to inherit the land Hashem, Atan Hashem melokei avotechem, that Hashem has given you. He said, I'm going to appoint three people for every tribe, and I'll send them out, and they should go out throughout the land, they should go out, write down what each nachla should be, figure out where the boundaries are going to be, figure out where everyone's going to inherit, and then come back. And they went throughout the whole land, and they wrote down the cities, the Shiva Chalakim al Sefer, seven of them, plus five of the tribes have already taken their inheritance. And they come back to Yeshua. That's what, in Ramadan, this original mission of Shlachacha and Hashem was supposed to be. You can find it in here on the little link, and click on there on. On the
article.
Yes, I got it on from Etsy on article, but it's in BBM. So that's the problem. There's no need for military mission. Hashem would allow them to conquer without any military action at all. The people, though, wanted to do this like a military mission. They wanted to the spies. They wanted to figure out how they're going to do this, and so they wanted by Yachpurula to Earth. We wanted somebody to spy out the land, so that Hashem said, fine. And Moshe's mistake was to conflate the two missions together. And he ends up sending politicians as amateur spies. If they had sent spies, it might have worked fine. If they had sent the Nasiim as politicians to see what the land would be like and divide up, that might have worked. Sending these Anashim, who may have meant well, as military analysts, that was doomed to failure. But Hashem agrees to Moshe's plan. He says, fine. Why is that? And most of what we're going to talk about is based on the MS Yaakov Rav Kamenetsky. And he looks at the wording there. It says, over here, Vayishlach otam Moshe. Moshe sent them. Midbar Paran, Al Pi Hashem. According to the mouth of God. What does Al Pi Hashem mean? In the Rashi. I'm sorry?
God's direct.
Okay, but we're trying to say that this wasn't really God's directing. He wasn't sending it that way. That's what we're trying.
I'm just reading the words without knowing the story.
Right. So figure out what exactly does that word mean? Where does that appear elsewhere? What is the phrase Al Pi Hashem?
Al Pi Hashem, they camp and they.
That's true too. Yes. Well, we'll quote that. So Rashi specific. What? Yeah, that doesn't use the word Alpi.
No. Right, that's I think he wouldn't say the...
Okay. So Rashi says on this, that Alpi Hashem, source 5, Birushuto, with Hashem's permission, Shelo Ikev Al Yadon. And Rashi again is saying that Hashem didn't approve this mission, this was the people making it happen, but Hashem said it was okay, Alpi Hashem. But Rav Kamenetsky doesn't like that Rashi. He can disagree. This is source 6. This is very far-fetched. Lomar to say, Shemashlo Ikev Al Yado, the fact that Hashem didn't prevent it from happening, Zekarot Al Pi Hashem. You call that Al Pi Hashem, according to God's word. If it just was, well, okay, you can go. So the essential motive for sending the Meraglim, this is the way it says, in Devarim, we quoted this. It was good in my eyes. Etc. And I took these 12 men. And the explanation of what's happening here is just like the Ramban says in Bukhukotai, that Shashakachat Hashemit Barach Al Hadam, that Hashem's Hashkacha, the way divine providence works. Depends on your faith. If you this balance between Hishtadlu, what we are going to do and how much you're going to rely on Hashem is up to you. And Hashem will provide based on what you expect yourself to be doing. But since they didn't have the faith that they could go into the land without fighting the battles, that's why they sent spies. That the conquest of the land would be according to normal politics, normal kingdoms conquer things with armies. And that, yeah, having that kind of mission beforehand to figure out where they're going to attack, that's appropriate. That was the level that people were, that's the level that people's bitachon of faith. And this is just like any battle that would be fought in Israel, Bishat Hanagat Malchut Israel, when there were kings in Israel. That becomes his point. They clearly were asking Hashem's help, but the way you did that was with the Urim B'Tumim, right? You would ask the Kohen Gadol, where should we fight? Who should we send? And they would have this little Ruach HaKodesh and they'd find out. So they need to consult with Hashem. And that's the way wars work, and we know that. We see that when Hashem is telling Bnei Yisrael, these are the people who will lead you into Eretz Yisrael, this is verse 7, that Yeshua will lead them, Lifnei Elazar Kohen Ya'amod, that Yeshua will stand before Elazar, who is the Kohen Gadol, Mish'alo b'mishpat ha'urim, and he will ask the Urim and Tumim, Lifnei Hashem, and before God, Al Piyav, and that's the key thing. This Al Piyav, he's reading this Al Piyav Hashem, on by the Piyav of Hashem, by the mouth of God, Yitzu, they will go out, Al Piyav Yavo, and by that instruction they will come back. And let's say Lavo in Tanakh always means to battle. Chol Bnei Yisrael Ito, and all Bnei Yisrael go with them, Kol Eida, and all the leadership as well. That there is a, when you go to war, you ask the Urim Tumim. That's the way you get Hashem's input into these kind of normal military, governmental matters. That's what the Urim is all about. So we're going to look at what these Urim and Tumim are. Mar Yuma, Tan Rabban, Ketat Shaolim. How do you ask a question of the Urim and Tumim? Ashoa Panav Klapan Yeshal. The one who asks the question. So the king who's asking goes to the Kohen, is front of the Kohen Gadol, and is facing the Kohen Gadol. But Nishal, the one who's being asked, Panav Klapei Shechina. But the Kohen Gadol is facing the other direction, facing the Aron. Hashol Omer, and this example, the one who's asked says, in this example, Shmuel, Edov Acharei Gadol Hazeh, am I going to chase that? Should I go chase after this military regiment? Should I go into this battle? Benish Alomer, and the person who is asking, this is the Kohen Gadol, answers, Komar Hashem, thus saith the Lord, Aleh Bathleah, you should go, and you'll be successful. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Tzarich Lomar Komar Hashem, he doesn't say the words, Komar Hashem, and you can see what that means, that basically, you're not quoting God's words here. Aleh Bathleah, all the Kohen says is go, and you'll be successful. That's the answer. And showing the call, when you're asking, you don't say it out loud, but don't say it in your own mind. But the way we daven Shemona Esrei, the way we daven, sort of sub-vocalizing it, just very quietly ask the question, the Kohen Gadol comes up with the answer and says it to you. You can't see the Kohen.
Okay. I can hear you.
I don't know. You know, what level of Ruach Kodesh is this? I assume the Kohen can hear. The Kohen, I say, what happened? Rabbi Yochan Omer Boltot. Yochanan says that the letters would stick out. They were the letters on the front of the Choshen. Reish Lakish Omer Mitzarfot. And Reish Lakish says they would all be put together to get an answer. The Marsha tries to spell that out a little bit more, to make a bad pun. What does that mean? How does the message come out? Source 9, Lamanda Amar, according to the one who says Mitzarfot, that they would come together. That the letters would come out by themselves, but Siruf in order, but Kaseda Devar Nishal, according to the person who's being asked would understand it. The Kohen Gadol would have a vision of the letters coming out in order to spell out the answer. Yeah, we understand that. But for the one who says that they would stick out, it's a little bit hard to understand what exactly was going. If you're just sticking out, shlokaseda, but they're not in order, right? There's a bunch of letters and they all come up and you got to put it together yourself. Rosh says, yeah, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Masha says, no. He says, yes. Hey, heaven mayhem, devar nishal. the Tzarefotiyot? How's a person who's the Kohen Gadol trying to read these letters that are sticking out, how are you supposed to put that together to an answer? He said, no, probably I would say that they probably, if they're sticking out, he's looking down at his own choshen, and they would stick out one by one. And that's how we know what the order of the answers would be. Order of the letters, could be drawn in order, bidvar nish'al, and what was being asked. And he would put together as they would show once in a while. So basically this was a vision of the Kohen Gadol. Nobody else saw that. Nobody's watching the Kohen there. You remember he's got his back turned to the king who's asking the question. So it's basically a level of Ruach HaKodesh. It's kind of like Nevuah, but not quite as explicit. And this is where the Rambam puts it together. This is source 10. Asuvayt Shedish Urim V'Tumim. So he's talking about the second Beit HaMikdash. They had Urim V'Tumim, they had the Shem HaShem inside the Choshen. They had Hashlim Shmonu B'Gadim, because that was part of the closing of the Kohen Gadol. But you couldn't actually ask questions of them. The Urim V'Tumim didn't work. Why didn't they ask of these Urim V'Tumim in the second Beit HaMikdash? Because the Kohen Gadol didn't have that level of Nevuah. You could ask, but Hashem wasn't going to answer. That's what the Urim V'Tumim were. Kol Kohen she'eno medaber b'ruach HaKodesh en shechina shor alav. Because the Kohen Gadol, if you don't have the Rekodesh, the Shekhinah is not there, which wasn't there in the second Beit HaMikdash, you couldn't ask. And how was the questions asked? The Kohen would face the Aaron, and the person asking the question would be behind the Kohen. The Kohen would face the back of the Kohen. The questioner would ask, should I go to battle or not? Oh, that's my coffee. Hi. Eino shol b'kol rav, lo mahar b'lobo, he doesn't do it out loud, but doesn't just think it, ela b'kol namuch, with a soft voice. K'moshim et balel b'eino v'ein la'atzmo, the way we daven, just kind of to yourself there. U'miyad ruach ha'koresh l'vesh ha'kohen, and immediately that the Kohen would get this ruach ha'koresh, this sort of minor sense of nevuah of prophecy. Would look at the Choshen, which had all the gems on it, all the names, Rebo Mareh HaNevuah, and it would have a vision, a prophetic vision. Okay, so you shouldn't think that if you were standing there with a little hidden camera in the Beit HaMikdash, you would see letters sticking out or anything. That's not what this is. It's a Nevuah. Allah, Allah Ta'ala, and you see an answer. The words would say either go or don't go. You would see the letters sticking out in front of him. Okay, and the Kohen would answer. That's the way you were supposed to find out how you were supposed to go to battle in the time of the first Beit HaMikdash. That's what David did, what Shlomo did. This Sefer Shmuel is full of David asking Hashem, should I go to this battle, should I not? That's the Urim V'Tumim. And so Kamnesi say that's what Al Pi Hashem here means. They asked, and what they asked was, who should go? That was probably not, should we send this mission? Is this a good way to do it? They asked, who are we going to send on this mission, on the mission of the spies? And that explains a couple of kind of mysteries about the Parsha that the Amos Yaakov goes into. The first is the fact that if you look at the list of names, of the spies, Reuben, Shimon, Yisachar, Ephraim, it's all random. There's no apparent order to them. Someone says it's an age order.
But I don't know that.
Well, the reason we don't, so Leia just said that someone says it's an age order, I think it's the Rashbam. The problem that Amos Yaakov points out there is that it lists Yeshua before Kalev. And we know how old each of those two were. They're describing it, and clearly Kalev is older than Yeshua is. So it doesn't quite work out. So the Ramban says, source 11, Manaka Tuva Shvatim, that the Pasuk lists all these tribes, Lodli Diglehem, not in the order of the camp, which is the way we've seen it up to now, Lodli Tzivotam, and not the way they traveled, Lokatolotam, and not in the order of their birth of these tribes, and it seems to me that Rama says, Shara Limnotam, that they were counted, According to the level, how important these various shluchim were. Problem with that is that it's got Yeshua as one of the spies here, and he's in the middle of the pack. So according to the importance, we're saying these people we've never heard of were more important than Yeshua. Could be. But Knessi connects it to the way the story is told in Devarim. What happened in Devarim, as Moshe describes it, when the people demanded that they send spies? And it says, Vatikrivun Eli Kulchem, you all came in front of me. And Rashi says, Vatikrivun Eli Kulchem, you all came in front of me, Be'irvuvi, all in a mob, in a mess. Everything was mixed up. Yuladim dochavim etzekinim, the kids were pushing on their elders, dikinim dochavim rashim, and the elders all pushed the heads of the tribes. And so that's why it's random here. Because that's what happened. That whoever pushed to the front, they asked the question, who should go for my tribe? And someone else pushed to the front. Source 13. Emel Yaakov. Hushachulish olet mi yashlachu. So they wanted to ask, they've got Moshe asking the question of Aaron, and they're all demanding, we want our spies to go. And they needed to ask who they were going to send. So the answer was, one at a time, they would get the answer here. Reuben, Shimon, Zakur. Matei Shimon, Shabbat ben Chor, etc. Matei Ephraim, Moshe ben Nun, etc. That's Zedekra al-Pi Hashem. That's what it means to send al-Pi Hashem. Al-Pi Hashem means through the Urim Tum. B'nera Lili Hashem. And so I would understand, this is Yom Nesiyakov, Nehe Eveti le'el Mashakatov Rashi lahala bi'irvuvia, and we quoted about that. Rashi is saying that they're sent to be Irvuvia in a mob. The Kaven, Shekain Gam Beseder, Shevina Pasuk, Naseb Irvuvia. And that's why the Pasuk lists them, Irvuvia, in a random chaotic mob. That's what happened. You have this image of everyone pushing and shoving. Whoever got to the front got to yell out their question. And so the names were presented randomly. The other question that we have about the parsha list of the names is the way Yehoshua is presented. He was one of the spies. The way it says it, source 14, in the pasuk, it lists their names. Elish Motam, Matei Ruben, Shamuz, and Ben Zakur, Shum, this is Ruben's leader, Matei Ephraim, Hoshea bin Nun. For Ephraim, the spy was Hoshea bin Nun. Elish Motam, Hashim, Asher Shalach Moshe, Tuat Aretz, these are the names of the men that were sent to tour the land. Vayikra Moshe Yehoshua Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. And Moshe called Hoshea bin Nun Yehoshua. So apparently this is where he was named Yehoshua. His name was Hoshea, now he named him Yehoshua, but that doesn't fit because he's been Yehoshua the whole time. We've seen him before, we saw him in source 15 with a battle with Amalek. He's Moshe's right-hand man. Yeshua goes out and fights Amalek, right when they came out of Egypt. Similarly, when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, right, Moshe alei ahara, v'yakam Moshe v'Yeshua misharto, and Moshe and Yeshua, his assistant, his aide, went up. He's called Yeshua from that moment. So the answer is that Yehoshua has his status for two different reasons. One is because he's the aide to Moshe. The other reason is that he's got yichus. He's related to the Nasi, to the head of his tribe of Ephraim. We only know that from Divrei Yamim. So, who is the Nasi of Ephraim? Source 17, that was from Parshat Naso, B'yom HaShvi. Nasi of Ephraim was Elishama ben Amihud. Remember that name. Because if you look at the genealogy in Divrei Yamim, source 18. Bnei Ephraim. These are children of Ephraim, Shutalach, who Bered Beno, Betach Beno, this is one generation. Son Bered, son Tachat, son Eldaah, son Tachat again. And it goes through Psukim after Psukim, and everyone loves reading all the names in Divrei Yamim. La'adan Beno, Amihud Beno, Elishama Beno. Right? Amihud, his son Elishama. So that Elishama is the son of Amihud, that's Elishama Ben Ehud. Nun bin Noh, Yehoshua bin Noh. So Yehoshua bin Nun is the grandson of Elishama ben Imud. He's the grandson of the Nasi. He's got status there. Got two different positions. So this is the way the Rashbam puts it. on our pasuk by Kram Moshe Yoshea ben Nun Yeshua, that Moshe calls Hosea Yeshua, lo ata karotoke. It's not that now he calls Hosea Yeshua. He's been Yeshua since we met him back in Parsha Peshalach. Shrekevar kodem lache nikra Yeshua. He was already called Yeshua. Kach pershu. This is what it means. Hosea ben Nun. She Amar Nu Lamala. When he was selected to be a spy, he was called out with the name of Hosea ben Nun. That's his birth name. Shenikra came Bevet Aviv. That's what his family all called him, Hosea. Who Otosha Kar Moshe Yeshua? He's the person that Moshe called Yeshua. The Shenasa Mishato. That's when he became Moshe's assistant, his aide, his right hand man. He changed his name to Yeshua. Yifkido Al Beito made him in charge of his household, Moshe's house. That's what happened when you were appointed to a position of power. Hey there. Just like Paro changes Yosef's name, Daniel Belshazzar, and Daniel's name is changed. So too, that was his title name was Yeshua. His birth name was Hosea. So what this means here is that why was he called Hosea now? But that's what the name came up on the Urim V'Tumim. That's his Nevuah, source 20. This is the Emes Yaakov again, putting this together. Urim V'Tumim, Heshiv L'Matei Ephraim Yoshua. That should be Yoshua. So Hosea ben Nun, right there. Right. They said, L'Matei Ephraim Hosea ben Nun. They said, the Urim V'Tumim would say, said Hosea, that's the name that came up. That was his birth name. And so but when Moshe looks at gets this name and said Hosea, says that's not his name. We're gonna make sure he knows his name is Yeshua. That's what I'm calling him. Right? Why is he called Yeshua now? It's not saying that he had been called. It's not but Moshe Kara. That would be he had been called. It's now he's being announced and for the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea ben Nun says, wait, it's Yeshua. Source 21, by Kram Moshe Yehoshea ben Yeshua. Why does he call him Yeshua? Is Rashi Hippalel Alav Ka Yeshiacha Meatzat Raglim. He's davening and telling him, it's a tefillah, adding that Yud there is Hashem's name. May Hashem save you from this idea of the spies. Not from the other spies, but this idea. I think I know we've said that before, that Moshe is saying that, well, I don't want you going as a spy. I realize that maybe this isn't such a great idea. We're mixing up these two different missions. I don't want you going so much as the representative of Ephraim. I also want you to go as representative of me. Make sure they stick to their mission. Otherwise, things could get lost. That you are still Yeshua the Mesharet Moshe. So why does it matter? Why do I care that Al Pi Hashem means with this Urim V'Tumim, which is the way they asked for help with any kind of battle and during the time of the first Beit HaMikdash? And the way the Emes Yaakov puts it is because the Urim V'Tumim were not perfect. I mean, they're tam because they were perfect, but by definition, you couldn't use them perfectly. Source 22. Still the Emes Yaakov. Ubiyor Ha'inyan Hi, an explanation for all of this. Shebemet hatshuva b'urim v'tumim, because the answer you got from the Urim V'Tumim, from asking questions, seeing the letters stick out. Lo hayta tamid l'fi ma she'emet shricha l'yot. It's not always what the answer you should have gotten, what the real truth should be. Hatshuva ba'am midiyeket l'fi ha'she'elah. The question was answered what you asked. It's one of those things where be careful what you ask for because you might get it. Hashem would answer the question. You had to come up with the right question. And this is clearly true from what we saw from the incident of Plegish Begiva, which we want to look at. That was when the Plegish, the concubine, the man was raped and killed, and then all of Israel come to fight the tribe of Binyamin, to try to demand justice for this man. Binyamin fights back. It's a huge civil war. Binyamin's almost wiped out. And they go to battle. All of Bnei Israel go to battle against the tribe of Binyamin. But they ask of Hashem, how should we do this battle? Source 23. V'ish Yisrael, and all the people of Israel, they all mustered together besides Binyamin, who they're going to war against, 400,000 men, shalafkar, with swords. That's a large army. Kol ze ish melchama, they're all warriors. Vaykumu vayalu Beit El, and they all went to Beit El, where the Mishkan was, vayishalu b'Elohim, and they asked God. Everyone's standing, this is the model of the Urim and Tumim. Vayamru b'nei Yisrael, and they asked the question, mi yale lanu b'techila, lemelchama b'nei Binyamin. Who should go first to fight this battle against Binyamin? Vayomer Hashem, Yehudah b'techila. Hashem answers, Yehudah should go first. Vayakumim b'nei Yisrael b'boker, so they all went in the morning, vayachanu al Givah, and they go camp against Givah, the city of Binyamin. Vayetze ish Yisrael b'milchama b'Binyamin, and the people of Israel went to war against Binyamin. Vayarchu itam ish Yisrael b'milchama el Givah, and they went, and they started the battle. Urim Tumim said, Yehudah should go first, Yehudah goes first, and they went, vayetzu b'nei Binyamin b'Givah, and Binyamin comes out of the city, vayashchitu b'Yisrael, and they wipe out Israel. They kill 22,000. In Israel, they ask God who should go. Hashem tells them, and they lose. So Bnei Israel go back, and they start crying, and Beit El, Ada Erev, the whole night. They ask again. Should I continue to fight Binyamin, my brother? And Hashem says, yes, you should go. So they go the next day. And Binyamin goes out and fights them in a Givah of that city. And again, Binyamin wipes out the army of Israel. Another 18,000 are killed. All of them armed. So they all come back to Beit El, and they cry, and they fast. It's clearly they're missing, misunderstanding something. Hashem tells them to go, and they lost twice in a row. They offer sacrifices. And they ask again, and that's where the Aaron was. And Pinchas was the Kohen at that point. That's Aaron's grandson. Lemor, and they all ask, Hosif od latzeit l'milchama im b'nei Yisrael, achi, im achdal. And they ask, should I go against b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Binyamin again, or should I stop? B'nei Hashem, alu, ki machar et nebi adcha, you should go, because tomorrow I will give them in your hand. You will win tomorrow. I go for Hashem b'Binyamin, b'nei Yisrael. At that point, Binyamin was wiped out. Lost the battle before Israel by Eshkitu ben Israel ben Yamin ben Yamahu Eshrim ben Chamisha Elaf Mea Ish, and there the Israelites killed 25,000 of Binyamin, and that's the story of the battle and the story of the Urim and Tumim in the context of Plagas B'Givah, and the fact that you can ask there, but isn't it necessarily the answer that you? It's not the answer you wanted. The answer to the question you gave, you know, who should go first? Should I go to battle? And the answer was yes, because Hashem was going to make sure that they lost. You could have asked, well, am I going to win? So it's a very different thing than a nevuah, where Nabi tells you something and you listen. I mean, with Tumim, it's much less certain, much more dependent on the human perspective. It's intentionally opaque. It's like an oracle. It's a lower level of kedusha than nevuah. And so that's what the Eves Yaakov says, that's what was happening here. Source 24. Same thing here with the Meraglim. Even though Hashem would not want the Meraglim, did not want the spies sent. Ramadan's formulation, they shouldn't have been spies. But what they asked of the Urim HaTumim, the question they asked, Loya im et l'shloach. They didn't ask, should we send? Elami is the law. Who should we send? Lachain, alzeh ba tshuva l'matei ruven, shemuven zakor. So that's what the answer was, what they said. Okay, you're going to send them. Here's who you send from each tribe. One after the other. Kamal, lomar, meaning, achim muskal b'shev ruven l'shlichut. This is the right one from your tribe for this shlichut, because this is what's going to happen. And shemuven zakor, that was his name. Lachain, shapin akra shlichut al pi Hashem. That's why it was called al pi Hashem. not Vayomer Hashem send these people, but the actual people sent were Al Pi Hashem. And as Leah just told us, we've seen that expression before, Al Pi Hashem. That was in last week's Parsha. That's how they traveled. Verse 25, Al Pi Hashem Yisu Bnei Yisrael, Al Pi on the mouth, for the word of God, they would travel, Al Pi Hashem Yachanu, and according to Hashem, they would camp. And that was an ambiguous sign. There was a cloud on top of the Mishkan. Then they stayed, it moved, then they knew it needed to go. So I would read that as Al Pi Hashem is how Hashem guides Bnei Yisrael as a whole. And in the wilderness, those instructions were explicit. That's what happened in the Midbar. They knew exactly where they're supposed to go every step of the way. But when they're entering Eretz Yisrael, those explicit instructions go away. It becomes a lot more dependent on them as in human beings. They have to make their own decisions. They're responsible. They can ask the Urim Tumim. That still Hashem still has an involvement there, and they should ask. But it's not the explicit, you will do this, you will do this. Everything now is up to them. They have to establish a mamlacha, and that they're supposed to have the responsibility. They're supposed to create that mamlacha konim goy kadosh. That's what they're supposed to do. And therefore, Hashem is allowing them to make their own decisions and suffer the consequences of those decisions. And so fundamentally, we've said that before, that was a sin of the spies when they get into Eretz Yisrael. They come out and they look at what's going on there and they realize that that's what's going to happen. That Hashem's not going to guide them anymore. They have to live their own lives. This is the way Rabbi Sachs puts it. The spies did not doubt that Israel could win its battles with the inhabitants of the land. Their concern was not physical, but spiritual. They did not want to leave the wilderness. They did not want to become another nation among the nations of the earth, planting the ground, building cities. They did not want to lose their unique relationship with God in the reverberating silence of the desert, far removed from civilization and its discontents. This was a mistake of deeply religious men, but it was a mistake. And so that this Al Pi Hashem was the first time that Bnei Yisrael, because that was supposed to, how they were supposed to enter into Israel, Al Pi Hashem. But this was the test of the new system. Once they enter into Israel, the signs from God are going to be ambiguous and subtle. And so that this story is sort of what happens when that happens. And yes, this was a mistake, but it's something to learn from. And this is what the future would hold, would always be Al Pi Hashem, but never in this kind of direct Hashem saying, here, you go there, you go there, and you go there. So we have to make our own decisions and then try to read Hashem's response as best we can. I will give you off, pay off, give you all a, wish you all a good Shabbos.
Shabbos, Danny, according to this, theoretically, if we hadn't asked for the spies or pushed for the spies, then we just went on faith, then we wouldn't have had to conquer the land, according to this.
Right. That is generally the assumption that they would have walked in there, that everyone would have given up, everyone would have said, oh yes, Judaism, that's a great idea. Let's go join you. Right? Canaan would have given up the Canaanite culture. We would have built the Beit HaMikdash right then and there, and we would have hit Arche Yomim and everything would have been perfect.
This is very timely.
It's time while you plan on conquering something miraculously? It's timely because you were planning on conquering someone miraculously?
No, because next week Israel might annex the West Bank, and that raises the same issues.
Uh-huh. Right. So that's what we need. Right. Netanyahu is not asking should or should not. Netanyahu is just trying to find out how. Right? And what questions and how do we, of course we can't even have an Urim Tumim to ask at all, but that's exactly the kind of problem. You have to know what you're planning to know what you're trying to do.